You are listening to Eastside Radio Podcast.
And there's something special about the Goldner String Quartet, and I could spend some time telling you all about it, but I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm joined on the phone by the quartet's cellist, Julian Smiles, and I'm going to have a chat to him, and he can tell us what's so special about it. Julian Smiles, welcome to Eastside Radio.
Thanks very much, Alan. Nice to be here.
Julian, do you think it's a special group, this Goldner String Quartet?
Well,
I described it as special, but maybe you can confirm or deny.
I think we are undeniably special. And the most special thing about us and the most relevant thing about us this year is that we are this year celebrating our 30th season as a string quartet. And not only have we been playing for 30 seasons, but we haven't changed memberships at all. So we are the same four people that launched this string quartet at the very beginning of 1995.
Well, and tell us about the foundation. Tell us when and under what circumstances the group was founded.
Well, the four of us started playing together. We came together as a sort of a lining up of planets, if you will, within a group called the Australia Ensemble, which is a group that's resident at the University of New South Wales. And that group had been in existence for some 15 or so years before that. But we all came to be members of that in about 1991. Mm-hmm. And as a result, we started programming more and more string quartets within it. And people started noticing and saying, hey, you guys are really good. You should do more of this. Mm-hmm. And gradually it got to the point where we needed to either change the Australia Ensemble, which we didn't want to do, or we needed to launch from within the ensemble a string quartet with its own identity, which we decided to do. We came to the decision sometime in 1994, and we launched at the very beginning of 1995.
When you keep referring to we, tell us what the familial relationships of the quartet are.
Well, there's a very famous quote that a string quartet's like the marriage between four people, but we've taken it to ridiculous extremes because we are, in fact, two married couples. And it's such an intense place to make art, to make music, that there was actually a bit of resistance from within the four of us to the idea of launching a string quartet, because we were actually worried about the risks that it posed to our relationships within our marriages.
I think that's a pretty important point, because you've been together for so long as a group, as opposed to married people. There've got to be some dynamics within the group that exist that do not exist in groups where the members are not related. Tell us about the dynamic.
It's a very interesting thing, and it's you know, fantastically interesting for us to have looked at it, to be looking at it in retrospect and saying, well, isn't it amazing that we didn't, you know, collapse in a heap or have multiple divorces or whatever. But what is really interesting to me is that you might expect that if disagreements happened in the quartet, they'd separate along married lines, but they don't, because we come together as a string quartet as four individual musicians, artists with our own ideas, and I can be at odds with my wife and in agreement with the other guy in the group as often as not.
Is that called a battle line?
Yeah, well, I think that there have been many battles within the quartet over the years, and they're always healthy discussions about the way we want to play music. And I actually think that's been one of our strengths over the years, is that from the outset we didn't agree on everything. Mm. So to convince each other of the way that we wanted the music to go required a lot of ability to back up what you were saying with being able to demonstrate it and to convince other people that the end result was good. And I think that ended up being very healthy working environment.
Spill a bit of dirt for us, Julian. What conflicts have emerged? What was the most memorable conflict within the group?
Oh, so many. they say, you know, what is in the group stays in the group. But I'm proud of the fact that we didn't agree all the time. I'm proud of the fact that we were able to disagree, but even more so that, you know, any of us at any particular time was able to either convince the others of what their idea was, or equally, you know, you have to accept someone else's idea and make it your own. And that's the strength of it.
And you said the group had been together for how many years?
The quartet is now celebrating its 30th season. We've all been married for longer than that, but not by a lot, I must say. But
after that period of time, the quartet is now disbanding.
Yeah.
Has it got anything to do with the conflicts that you were just talking about?
Nothing at all. Nothing at all.
Whose choice was it then?
We all have been talking about it for a very long time, actually, because, you know, nobody expected this quartet to last for 20 years, let alone 25, let alone 30. Mm. So as we've gone through those various milestones over the years, we've sort of said, well, do we keep going? Do we want to keep going? Many quartets, when they get to a certain age within the group, they might replace a member. You know, someone might say, well, I've had enough, it's time for us
to go.
Yes,
that's right.
But in our group, we were so wound up, all four of us, with the identity of the group. I think that, you know, quite early on, I think we all had the feeling that once one of us had to leave, we all had to leave.
Right.
And I think it's quite extraordinary that we've managed to go on for 30 years.
Yeah, well,
I think we're still playing well. And we just said, look, How many years do you want? Mm. We could go for another 3 years. We could go for another 5 years. Who knows?
But did you ask yourself that question at the time you formed? At the time you formed, how long did you contemplate being together, do you think?
Absolutely no idea back then.
Yep.
We had, as I said, we had been playing together for 4 years, so we knew that we played well together. But it's a rare string quartet that lasts, you know, 10 years without changing memberships.
You're about to perform your farewell concert at the end of this week. That's this Sunday, the 8th.
Yeah.
And that's going to be at the Verbruggen Hall at the Sydney Conservatorium. Who selected the program?
We all did. We're a very democratic group, so we talked at great length about, you know, how we wanted to complete our journey.
It's an extraordinary concept that because putting a program together, often you have a creative director and then you have all sorts of people involved in the discussion. You all work together, you live together, you prepare together. Do you even rehearse?
Oh, we rehearse all the time.
Okay, so there's another one. You're rehearsing, you're planning, you're doing everything together. I mean, it's just extraordinary. Do you get time to go on holidays or
startlingly, every now and then we've actually gone on holidays together.
Don't tell me.
But not so often.
Right.
Not so often.
Right.
But we've been very busy, and particularly busy this year because we wanted to make this year a big finale.
Yeah.
So we've done more concerts this year than we've done in many of the most recent years, and everywhere we've gone, the audience has shown their appreciation for what we've done for Australian music over 30 years.
Absolutely. And have you counted the number of performances that you've made publicly in your career?
That would be very hard. But, you know, this year, for example, I would say we would probably have done in the order of 40 to 50 concerts.
This year?
This year. So, yeah, over 30 years, you're going to be talking over 1,000 concerts, I would say, performances of various sorts.
How structured are your rehearsals? You said you do rehearse a lot. I mean, is it sort of after dinner that you sort of get together and jam?
Oh, no. We will have days in the week where we say, okay, we often say in this upcoming concert, how many days do we need to rehearse? Mm-hmm. And when we rehearse, we'll rehearse for like 6 hours or, morning and afternoon of a particular day. Mm. Being two married couples, we tend to alternate houses. We live in Randwick and our colleagues live in Newtown. Mm-hmm. And we've both got houses where we can rehearse without disturbing the neighbours too much.
I was going to ask, how do the neighbours feel about it?
our own neighbours have been wonderfully appreciative, and from time to time they say, well, that piece, maybe we don't need to hear that again. Mm. And we always shut the windows when we're full into it.
Well, maybe you should open the windows and charge them. Tell us about the pieces you've selected for the concert, Julian.
Right. Well, I should tell you the last work, which is a big quartet by Schubert called Death and the Maiden. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to, it could have been very easily a concert made up of small pieces, but we wanted to finish our careers with the sort of major piece of music that we would play in our concerts, in the past. Mm-hmm. And this quartet by Schubert was written exactly 200 years ago, actually, 1824. Mm-hmm. And it was written at a time of his life when he realized he was dying, which is a bit somber, but at the same time, it's a work that has become so famous in chamber music audiences that it's one of the most popular string quartets ever written. Mm. Big piece, it's about 50 minutes long. So that's the entire second half of the concert. Mm. In the first half of the concert, we're playing a piece, for a movement of a late Beethoven string quartet, which he titled his Holy Song of Thanksgiving from a convalescent in the Lydian mode. And he had been quite ill and he recovered, and he was so grateful for his renewed strength and renewed wellness that he wrote this really quite incredible piece of music, which again is that single movement is one of the longest movements he wrote in any of his pieces.
Is that the quartet number 15?
Yes, yeah, A major.
I'm just a little surprised you would have played that, because it's actually not a terribly typical Beethoven piece, is it? It's somber and it's slow.
It depends what you mean by Beethoven, because when we think of Beethoven, we think of his big symphonies and works like that, where he made a lot of noise. But His string quartets were the moments where he expressed some of his innermost thoughts and his quiet moments. And as you say, this particular movement is very still and very quiet and very meditative. There are two faster sections in the middle where he says that he feels a new strength. But apart from that, it's this incredibly focused, quiet reflection, which it's interesting to remember that he was deaf for about, 15 years or so before he wrote this piece of music, almost 20 years, in fact. And so this music was being created in the middle of his mind, not from sitting at a keyboard or sitting with a string quartet and hearing what it sounded like. It really comes from the depths of his soul, and it's incredibly moving.
Listening to it a little bit in the background here now. What do you think your audiences may take away from this particular concert, Julian, which might be dissimilar from your concerts over the many years that we've just referred to?
Well, I think a lot of people that will be there are people that have been watching us play for many, many years. Yeah. Some of them from the very beginning. So they'll be there to see us for a last time. And I think there won't be a dry eye in the house. I think everybody will be very affectionately saying goodbye to us, and we'll be saying the same to them. we hope that it will be as good a performance as we have ever given. And I like to think that the audience will be thinking, why are they stopping?
Yes, frankly. Indeed.
But
yes,
indeed. It's something that we really wanted to be in control of our own ending. Rather than having that control taken away from us. It's like a great sportsman who decides to wrap up their career while they're still at the top.
Yeah.
And it's immensely hard work being in a string quartet. Yeah. It requires more dedication and work than just about any other format that you can do within classical music.
You mentioned sportsmen coming to the end of their career, but they invariably have something in mind to do at the end of their career. What do you have in mind after this concert on Sunday?
Well, all four of us, I think, will still continue performing. We'll perform in combination with other people in other formats, just not as the Goldner Quartet. We have a range of ages within the group. I won't say by how much, but some of us have perhaps more years of performing ahead of them than others. Mm-hmm. I'm a teacher at the Sydney Conservatorium. I'm a cello lecturer there, so I'm teaching a lot. But I'm also continuing to want to play the cello as much as possible and at as high a level as possible. And I feel like over the last 30 years, I've often had to say no when people have come to ask me to do things because the quartet has taken my time.
Right.
But now I'll be able to say yes. So I just hope people won't stop asking.
Maybe you'll be able to do some recreation or go on holidays as a foursome together. I just think that would be the final irony, wouldn't it? You go on a holiday to celebrate your joint retirement?
Well, interestingly enough, we are actually doing a bit of – we have a few sort of projects to wrap up, and one of them was a postponed concert tour on a boat from Perth to Brisbane. Hmm. So we'll be doing a cruise in about April next year, and we'll be playing on that. So we can say that the concert on Sunday this week will be the Goldner Quartet's last performance on land.
Oh, right. Okay, then. But I understand that the concert on Sunday is actually sold out. Is that correct?
That's true.
Okay.
Yep.
So is it accessible via any streaming service? Or?
Yes. In fact, Musica Viva, which is the organisation which is co-presenting the concert with us on Sunday, they're going to have it recorded and live streamed a few days later. So I believe it's going to be available from the 12th. So if you look up Musica Viva, musicaviva.com.au, they'll have a link there where you can connect up with the live stream, what they're calling a live stream. And I would encourage anybody to look at that, even if you've never seen a string quartet play before. It's one of the most incredible mediums in classical music. And as I said, the medium in which composers often express their most intimate thoughts. Mm. And hopefully it'll be a really great example and a moving send-off for a quartet that has been working so hard for 30 years.
And in terms of sending off, I think it's possibly only appropriate that we say best wishes to you all by sending you off with the finale of the piano quintet. This is you playing, the quintet playing. And I just want to clarify, do you pronounce it Delanger or Delanger? Because he was actually Anglo-French, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, Not having known the guy, we don't know, because he died in the early half of last century. But yep. I believe he retained the French pronunciation, which was Delanger. So that's how we refer to him.
Julian Smiles, the cellist from the Goldner String Quartet, who will be performing their farewell concert at the Sydney Conservatorium Verbruggen Hall this Sunday. That concert is sold out, but it is available online, and you can find the details of that at the Musica Viva's website. Julian, thank you so much for joining us today on Monday Drive.
You have been listening to Eastside Radio Podcast. For selections of more enjoyable content like this, visit our website, eastsidefm.org, and click on Podcast.